Welcome to the Evangelism of Jehovah Witnesses class. This is a class specifically for the saints at Monterey Baptist Church to know what Jehovah's Witnesses teachings are in comparison to the Bible, and specifically in comparison to Southern Baptists. This class is intended for evangelism. It is not a long, in-depth study of the Jehovah's Witnesses, and most of the material is taken from The Kingdom of the Cults book by Walter Martin, 6th edition. We'll start with the introduction. Historical perspective. Charles Taze Russell was born on February 16, 1852, and spent most of his early years in Pittsburgh, where at the age of 25 he was known to be a manager of several men's furnishing stores. And at an early age, he rejected the doctrine of eternal torment. Probably because of the severe indoctrination he'd received as a Congregationalist. And as a result of this act, he entered upon a long and varied career of denunciation aimed at what he called organized religions. And in 1870, at 18, Russell organized a Bible class in Pittsburgh, which in 1876 elected him as their pastor. From 76 to 78, he was assistant editor of a small Rochester, New York monthly magazine, but he resigned when a controversy arose over Russell's counter-arguments on the atonement of Christ. Shortly after leaving his position, he founded the Herald of the Morning in 1879, which developed into today's The Watchtower Announcing Jehovah's Kingdom. From 6,000 initial issues, as of 2018, the publication has grown to 69,804,000 bi-monthly copies in 334 languages, and the other Watchtower periodical, Awake, has a bi-monthly circulation of 64,905,000 per month in 184 languages. So they put out a lot of publishing. And Rutherford wrote a series of works now entitled Studies in the Scriptures, the seventh edition of which caused a clean split in the organization, and Rutherford is their second leader. The larger group followed Russell's successor, Judge Rutherford, and the smaller group became the Dawn Bible Students Association, and Rutherford's group became the Jehovah's Witnesses, its corporate name being the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, internationally headquartered in Warwick, New York. The society claims to have 120,053 congregations throughout the world and 240 different lands. They boast that they have published 220 million New World Translation Bibles and 40 billion pieces of literature in 900 languages from their inception to 2017. Its literature is distributed by individual Jehovah's Witnesses called a publisher, who is often seen on the street or going door to door, and some 8.4 million volunteers participate. The Society owns several properties in New York, including towering office buildings and printing facilities. They own a large printing plant. They have a kingdom farm, which supplies food, wood for furniture, etc., a Bible school called Gilead, and many other enterprises. And employees at their factories, offices, and facilities are not paid, but they're allotted room and board, and they also get $100 a month for incidental personal expenses. Now, Russell continued his teachings until his death on October 31st, 1916. In the obituary column of the Brooklyn Daily Eagle, November 1st, 1916 edition, captures the true history of Russell, and the full account of which can be found in Kingdom of the Cult starting on page 49. And some highlights from Russell's obituary are the following. 6 years after marrying his wife Maria Ackley sued him for divorce and gave testimony against him in court, and he was scorned by the courts. An alimony payment of $6,036, which amounts to about $186,000 today, was settled on. The litigation revealed that Russell's activities in the religious field were carried on through several subsidiary societies, and all the wealth that flowed into these subsidiaries was under the control of a holding company in which Russell held 90% of the capital. He controlled the entire financial power of the society and was not accountable to anyone. He had the Watchtower publication advertise wheat for sale at $1 a pound called Miracle Wheat, and it was asserted that it would grow 5 times as much as other wheat. His followers were advised to purchase it, and the proceeds going to the Watchtower. Now, the Eagle made this public with a cartoon picturing the pastor and his miracle wheat in such a way that Russell sued them for libel. But during the suit, the U.S. government investigated his wheat and found that it was of very low quality, and government agents testified of that fact in the 1913 libel case where the Eagle won. Before entering the court, the Eagle issued this statement. The Eagle goes even further and declares that at the trial it will show that Pastor Russell's religious cult is nothing more than a money-making scheme. He claimed to have traveled the world and gave powerful sermons to large enthusiastic crowds, but the Eagle also proved this to be false. A good old Baptist pastor named Reverend J.J. Ross, the pastor of James Street Baptist Church in Hamilton, Ontario, wrote a blistering pamphlet denouncing Russell, and Russell also sued him with Judge Rutherford as his lawyer, and they lost. The title of the pamphlet that Pastor James wrote, or the pastor of James Street Baptist Church wrote, was entitled Some Facts and Some More Facts About the Self-Styled Pastor Charles T. Russell. Ross seized the opportunity to expose Russell's true character and theology. Ross assailed Russell's teachings and studies in the scriptures as the destructive doctrines of one man who was neither a scholar nor a theologian, and denounced Russell's whole system as anti-rational, anti-scientific, anti-biblical, anti-Christian, and a deplorable perversion of the gospel of God's dear Son. Now, Ross demonstrated that Russell never attended the higher schools of learning, knows comparatively nothing of philosophy, systematic or historical theology, and is totally ignorant of the dead languages, and those languages would be Greek and Hebrew, perhaps Latin. In this type of case, Russell had to prove Ross's charges were not true. But the case demonstrated that Russell left public school at 14, never to return. Russell did not know any Greek, Latin, or Hebrew, committing perjury in the process. He'd never been ordained, and his perjury was determined to be premeditated and severe, going so far as to deny that his wife divorced him and that he was ordered to give her alimony. And we're mentioning all of this historical perspective because it's important, just as we've studied with other religions, to understand the founders, their character, their reliability, so we can know whether or not they're legitimate. Though the Christian church unified against him and he was kicked out of Canada, he kept teaching, preaching, and printing. He was a prominent conscientious objector, as the Jehovah's Witnesses are still today, during World War I. He has swayed many people and even proffered his writings as necessary for a clear understanding of the scriptures, and who once declared that it would be better to leave the scriptures unread and read his books rather than to read the scriptures and neglect his books. Judge Joseph Franklin Rutherford took over for Russell upon his death and was similarly egotistical and unqualified. He retained his title from an earlier legal career as a special judge of the 8th Judicial Circuit Court of Boonville, Missouri. He became very popular among the Russellites, attacking organized religion. He denounced some of Russell's teachings, which caused some Russellites to leave the society. In his pamphlet, Why Serve Jehovah, he declared, in effect, that he was the mouthpiece of Jehovah for this age and that God had designated his works as the expression of divine mandate. The leaving Russellites distanced themselves from him and his followers by establishing themselves as the Jehovah's Witnesses in 1931 in Columbus, Ohio. Judge Rutherford challenged all of Christendom, especially the Roman Catholic Church, to answer his charges of religious intolerance that he made against them, and he even offered to split the cost of a radio debate with the Federal Council of the Churches of Christ in the United States. being entirely ignored by all. He also was imprisoned by the federal government in the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary for violating the Espionage Act in 1919. The next president of the organization was Nathan Homer Knorr. He created their Gilead Missionary Training School in New York, and during his presidency, the Watchtower promoted the infamous 1975 prophecy about the Battle of Armageddon and the end of the world. The failure of their prediction was published by major media outlets, but the Watchtower quickly created excuses for it. But many Jehovah's Witnesses left after this. Strangely, the Jehovah's Witnesses continued to deny that they cite or teach any of Russell's teachings, even though it is demonstrably obvious that they do. Now for some recent history. After several presidents, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is now managed by the governing body. The governing body is a group of heavenly class or anointed men, currently numbering 12. The society has been divided into corporations, each with its own president who is not a member of the governing body. The restructuring has restricted the legal culpability of the Watchtower organization as a whole, effectively shielding them from the lawsuits and large financial settlements that are brought against them. Numerous lawsuits and allegations have surfaced since 2000, in particular, over child abuse, child molestation, and the governing body's past knowledge of such. Though they have increased in membership in recent years, they have a low retention rate compared to other religious groups, and that's according to Pew Research. Because of their belief that door-to-door preaching is an essential part of the works necessary for Jehovah's Witnesses to be saved, the Jehovah's Witnesses in the United States spent 2.04 billion hours preaching door-to-door. Some of their publications. Their purposes are to recruit and then train followers who dare not have any independent questions, doubts, or ideas regarding Jehovah's theocratic organization, meaning the Jehovah's Witnesses. The New World Translation Bible is a Bible that they have translated and changed. It was completed in portions between 1950 and 60, published in 1961. There have been 5 revisions since then, and the most recent revision was in 2013. They also have the Greek Interlinear New Testament publications, including the Emphatic Diaglot and the Kingdom Interlinear Translation of the Greek Scriptures, published 1969, revised in 85. Now, these interlinear texts use the Westcott and Hort Greek texts, their own interlinear translations, and, in the case of the Kingdom Interlinear, the New World Translation as a parallel. One of their most important booklets is titled Reasoning from the Scriptures, 1985, revised in 89, which answers the most commonly challenged Watchtower interpretations and teachings from Scripture. The Society also released a study Bible, the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures Study Edition, and a paraphrase edition of the Bible titled The Bible in Living English. Since Rutherford's death, all Society publications are issued without any author credit, and they're issued anonymously. They claim this preserves the humility of the contributors and focuses attention on God's word and his will rather than on human agency used to communicate divine truth. But detractors point out rightly that concealing the identity of the authors, and in particular the interpreters, make it impossible for anybody to evaluate the author's qualifications, their expertise, or authority in the areas which they write. They also have published several Bible study aids, including My Book of Bible Stories for Children, Revelation, Its Grand Climax at Hand, Mankind's Search for God, Questions Young People Ask, Answers That Work, The Greatest Man Who Ever Lived, Life, How Did It Get Here, By Evolution or by Creation, among many others. Two of the many Bible reference aids Jehovah's Witnesses use to answer objectors' questions are all scripture is inspired of God and beneficial, and insight on the scriptures. Smaller hardcovered books, including Knowledge That Leads to Everlasting Life, The Bible, God's Word or Man's, Let Your Kingdom Come, Happiness, How to Find It, The Secret of Family Happiness, True Peace and Security, How Can You Find It, and Listening to the Great Teacher and Others. Now, I've listed off this very long list of publications they have, and it's important for us to know that because maybe you're sitting in a dentist office or in a lobby somewhere, waiting room, and you pick one up, you think it's a piece of Christian literature, you start to read it. Maybe you're at the thrift store or at a bookstore and you find some of their stuff and you think, oh, I want to get my grandkids a Christian book, and you buy one of their books. It's important to know their titles because we don't want to be infiltrated by false ideas into the church. And we don't want to teach our children false ideas into the church. And we don't want to be reading a Bible at home and personal devotions that is very inaccurately translated. Now we will discuss some of their activities. So prospective members are encouraged to commit themselves to the society as quickly as possible and become members through baptism by immersion at the local congregation level. New members must immediately begin training for what's called field work by spending time with older members as they conduct their own field work, going door to door and things like that. In the past, publishers were Jehovah's Witnesses who committed an average of 1,200 hours per year in field work, including door-to-door recruitment, sidewalk soliciting, and book studies with prospective and new members. Those who dedicated a significantly greater amount of time than 1,200 hours earned the title of pioneer to distinguish them from mere publishers. Group meetings together are called congregations, but the places where they meet are called kingdom halls, not churches. So if you're ever driving around, you see a church-looking building. Typically, they don't have any windows. It'll be called the Kingdom Hall. That's where they meet. That's where their churches are. Members appointed from higher up for leadership are called overseers or elders. The person who leads the elder meetings is called the presiding overseer. The service overseer handles service business within the congregation. And ministerial servants are delegated administrative responsibilities as assistants to the elders. So that would be their polity, the people that make up, you know, what we would see as elders or pastors and deacons. They have overseers, presiding overseer, service overseer, and ministerial servants. Now, circuits are associations of around 20 congregations, and they are supervised by a circuit overseer. Circuits organize twice-a-year conventions for their member congregations. Then above that, there are districts. Districts are geographical collections of circuits, and there are 22 of them in the United States. The district overseer organizes an annual district convention, at which all new teachings and rules from the governing body are announced to the members, and at which new publications are presented. Collections of districts are called branches. Collections of branches are called zones. And the Brooklyn Society office is called headquarters. For holidays, there is only one. It is entitled Memorial of Christ's Death. Held during Passover each year, this is the only ceremony that they have. It is held in large auditoriums, and all members are expected to be there. The elements of the Lord's Supper are passed through the audience, but only those of the anointed or heavenly class are allowed to partake in it. That number fluctuates from year to year and floats around 18,000 individuals. Besides this holiday, no other celebrations of any kind are allowed for the Jehovah's Witnesses. They reject celebration of any other religious, national, or cultural holidays, and this would include Christmas, Easter, birthdays, Sabbath, or Sunday ceremonies, etc., and they reject them as pagan and idolatrous. Those members who are caught participating in such holidays can be disfellowshipped. The Kingdom Halls, their congregations, have 5 meetings per week, which all congregation members are expected to attend. During these meetings, they have the public talk, it's usually held each Sunday, and the Watchtower study normally follows. The Theocratic Ministry School is usually a weekday evening meeting, followed by the service meeting. Each Jehovah's Witness is also required to attend a weekly book study in addition to his or her own field work, and these book studies may be conducted by the witnesses. Next, we will discuss the society's assets. They are stacked with money. In 2016, they sold their massive Brooklyn complex for a record-breaking $1.25 billion and raked in hundreds of millions of dollars from related properties. Their new headquarters in Warwick, New York, is very modern and impeccable at 1.6 million square feet. It is open to tours to the public. The billions of copies of publications are distributed worldwide for a specific donation price, or in countries where that practice is not to their tax advantage, such as the United States, on a voluntary donation basis with suggested donation amounts that are far above the negligible cost of printing. Additionally, members and congregations are strongly pressured to ensure that the donations they send to headquarters are at least as much as the suggested amounts, even if some of the materials were distributed at the local level for free or at reduced donations. The society does not have paid clergy. Therefore, their meetings are led by volunteer elders and speakers. However, full-time kingdom workers are happy to subsist on the small monthly allowance. There is no public reporting of the annual donations received by the Kingdom Hall congregations. They do not practice tithing or offerings, but refer to all congregational collections as donations. Extra donations are encouraged by the placement of collection boxes in Kingdom Halls, and their printing facility alone made it onto the 2001 Top 40 New York City Businesses. It showed a revenue of $951 million. Okay, next we'll discuss structural authority. So at first glance, Jehovah's Witnesses seem to be the model of religious democracy. In their informational booklet, What Does God Require of Us?, congregational leaders are described. And I quote, "These men are not elevated above the rest of the congregation. They are not given special titles. They do not dress differently from others. Neither are they paid for their work. However, in reality, the society is an absolute autocracy. All authority is vested in the governing body, including the authority to understand and teach the Bible." Now, here are some quotes from the various editions of the Watchtower. "So Jehovah's visible organization under Christ is a channel for bringing the divine interpretation of his word to his devoted people." June 1, 1938, 169. "We acknowledge as the visible organization of Jehovah on earth the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, and we recognize the society as the channel or instrument through which Jehovah and Christ Jesus give instruction and meet in due season to the household of faith." April 15, 1939, 125. "If we are to walk in the light of the truth, we must recognize not only Jehovah God as our Father, but His organization as our Mother." May 1957, 247. "Make haste to identify the visible theocratic organization of God that represents His King, Jesus Christ. It is essential for life. Doing so be complete in accepting its every aspect. October 1st, 1967, 591. They, meaning witnesses, must adhere absolutely to the decisions and spiritual understanding of the society because God has given it authority over his people. May 1st, 1972, 272. Avoid independent thinking, questioning the counsel that is provided by God's visible organization. Fight against independent thinking. January 15th, 1983, 22 and 27. To receive everlasting life in the earthly paradise, we must identify that organization and serve God as a part of it. February 15, 1983, 12. Those are just a few quotes from their teachings that clearly establish that the Jehovah's Witnesses structure is an autocracy. You're not allowed to question. You are not allowed to divert or meet with other religions or read any other publications from other religions or any other, like, gospel tracts of any kind. You are not allowed to question the society. Dissent is not permitted, and if it's discovered, it's punished swiftly and completely. Jehovah's Witnesses are excluded from membership or disfellowshipped not merely for gross, unrepentant immorality or heresy, but also for questioning the teachings and authority of the society. They will be severely shunned by all friends and family. Jehovah's Witnesses are not only to isolate themselves from those who were once Jehovah's Witnesses and have been disfellowshipped or disassociated, but also from anyone who is not a Jehovah's Witness and who attempts to present a view contrary to the Watchtower. No Jehovah's Witness is allowed to read dissenting material, whether it is written by a disgruntled Jehovah's Witness, a disfellowshipped Jehovah's Witness, or someone who has never been a Jehovah's Witness.